Presentations Podcast. This is episode 99, LOTF by WG Part 3.
Lord of the Flies, Chapter 9. All right, quick recap. Bunch of little kids on an island in the Pacific. There's no adults. They were on a plane. Plane crashed. Nuclear apocalypse might be happening. Kids have no idea what is going on. Part 1, they were kind of organized. They had a signal fire going. Things broke apart. There's now two factions, two tribes of little kids going on. The initial one that everybody started together, the old school tribe, is ran by a kid named Ralph. His second in command's a kid named Piggy. There's also a little dude named Simon that hangs out with them. That's the old school base camp guys. There's also a lot of little ones, which is the shorthand for the smaller kids. We're talking like six and under. They couldn't go on roller coasters at Six Flags. Too small. But they're also hanging out at base camp. So you got Ralph, Piggy, Simon. Also, a pair of twins, Sam and Eric. They're not little ones, but they're close. They can go in the ball pit, but they got to be watched. They're not the biggest kids in the world, but they're also part of old school base camp. New splinter faction that just broke off. Headed up by kid named Jack Maradoo. In regular life back in Great Britain, he was the head of the choir. He's big on bragging about being able to sing C sharp. Doesn't matter now. He's now become the rival chief of the other tribe on this desert island. So you got the old school base camp led by Ralph. Then you got a splinter faction led by Jack Maradoo on the other side of the island. They're held up in this place called Castle Rock. They initially went and found it, and Jack, when they were all one tribe, was like, oh, this would be a great place for a fort. And somebody was like, Wizard Fort! So when the split happened between the two groups of kids, Jack and the new faction took up camp over at Castle Rock. At the end of part two, little dude named Simon, who was hanging out with original base camp, he likes to walk about a little bit and just kind of feel himself out and be like, I'm having a hard time. He needs some alone time to think. So we went for one of those, and then he ran into this pig's head because the initial split happened. Jack Maradoo and the splinter faction, they like to hunt pigs. There's pigs on the island. They got carried away with it. They got this pig. They cut its head off. It was a whole thing in part two, and that's kind of where the split happened. Anyway, so Simon went on a walkabout, found this pig head that's on a stick because there's rumors that there's some supernatural beast on the island. So the splinter faction, head up by Jack Maradoo, killed this pig, cut its head off, put it on a stick as an offering to the beast. As like, hey, don't mess with us. We're this other tribe. You can have the head, whatever else. So little guy Simon went out to think alone, came upon the head that's on a stick. Then we kind of had the scene from The Shining in the bathroom where the head started talking to Simon like it's Grady, being like, you're the caretaker. That's where we left off part two. Part two ended with Simon passing out, being overwhelmed by either supernatural or it was heat exhaustion and he was hearing voices. Not sure. We're going to pick it up where we left off with Simon waking up from passing out from maybe ghosts. All right, here we go. All right, we got a slow wake up here from Simon. When he passed out, he did have a nosebleed at the last second. So he wakes up again on a desert island. There's no medic. He can't go to the nurse's office. So he's got blood all over his face from the nosebleed. Now, when he was asleep, the flies that are around the Lord of the Flies head. By the way, the pig's head on a stick is known as the Lord of the Flies. It also has a bunch of pig guts underneath it. That's where, when Jack Maradoo dressed the first pig that they killed to be able to cook, he left the guts underneath the head, and there's a bunch of flies on the guts. They go on the head. That's why he's called the Lord of the Flies. Anyway, when Simon passed out, had a hard time, and the nosebleed, the flies didn't try to eat Simon's face. All right, so Simon wakes up. But he remembers what happened. He remembers that this pig head was talking to him. So he wakes up and he asks the Lord of the Flies. He's like, hey, what else do I do here? What else is there to do, man? Now, at this point, the Lord of the Flies is completely covered in flies to the point where you can't even tell it's a pig head or anything. Simon gets no response from the Lord of the Flies. So he's like, all right, well, I don't know what happened there. Got to keep it. I got no answers. Let's keep it moving. That might have been a demon. I don't know. Simon walks away like he parked his car somewhere else in the city and left it the night before. He's just like, all right, I'm gonna walk this one off. I can't keep doing this. All right, I gotta get out of here. All right, so Simon's leaving the Lord of the Flies. On the way back to Ralph's base camp, Simon accidentally walks up on where the initial signal fire was, which is about halfway up this mountain on this tropical island. There's a mountain in the middle. where they had initially a signal fire, which is pretty smart to maybe if there's a ship going by, you're going to see the smoke. Simon passes this and walks up on what was initially thought to be the Beast. Now, there's a rumor of a supernatural cryptid Bigfoot entity that's going to kill all the kids. It's part of the reason why the Splinter Faction happened. Everybody's stressed out and fearful. The little guys can't sleep. They keep thinking about it. They got nightmares all the time, regardless of whether they sleep in a shelter or outside. The little guys are having a hard time getting quality sleep on this island. So Simon accidentally walks up on the thing that was initially identified as the Beast by Jack, Ralph, and Roger, who went up. And all they did, they went up to the signal fireplace, and they saw all the rocks, and one of the rocks was bobbing up and down. That was enough. It was the middle of the night. Jack ran down, Ralph ran down, Roger ran down. They're like, there is some sort of beast. It's swelling and then going back down. We don't know what that is. We can't go back up there. Simon's already had a tough one and probably already thinks he may have already spoke with ghosts. So he's just like, all right, what the hell's going on up here? Is a beast going on? It's a downed airman. I believe in part two, while everybody's asleep, none of the kids saw this happen. Another airplane was flying above or close to the tropical island, was shot down, tail spinned out. Pilot made it out, parachute. We never learned if the pilot was dead or alive or what was going on. And that is what, that dude ended up landing by the fire, which is what Jack, Ralph, and Roger saw when they were like, there's a beast! It's a Yeti! Let's get out of here! And then reported that back. Simon finds this, and he's like, oh, this is a downed airman. Now, the guy is deceased, but Simon sees how this whole thing is working. The reason that the downed airman was bobbing up and down in the middle of the night is because the parachute's still attached to him, so whenever tropical breezes come up, the guy bobs up and down. Now, he's also covered in flies. But that doesn't really bother Simon. He's already had, you know, quite a bit of experience with, like, pig guts and pig head covered in flies. So he's not freaked out by it. He's like, all right, come here, buddy. Let me help you out. So Simon goes up and untangles the parachute from the guy. So in regular winds, he will stop bobbing up and down. And Simon makes sure to double check what he's looking at. He's like, I got to go tell those other guys down there that there is no beast. This is what we're dealing with. I'm not sure if I'm going to tell him about that pig head talking to me. That might just be me. That might be a secret I take to my grave. I'm not sure if I'm going to tell anybody about that. All right, cut two. Ralph, Piggy, and some little ones back at original base camp. I believe Sam and Eric are also hanging out at this point. Now, Ralph and Piggy are just in the water talking. And Ralph is messing around. He's splashing Piggy pretty hard in the eyes every now and then. Piggy has a tiny flip out. He just hits him with like, yo, come on, man. My glasses, will you stop with this? It's been a long time. It's enough that Ralph hits him with like, my bad on that. I'm joking. I get bored. I can't gauge what kind of, I don't know if you're having a bad day or not. That was probably a couple too many splashes. My bad on that, dude. So then Ralph asks Piggy like, hey, where is everybody, man? Like you look around, there's not, where did everybody go? And Piggy's like, yeah, they all went to that new the new camp, the Splinter Faction. Remember, like, at the end of part two, Jack Meridew came to the original base camp and was like, yo, we killed another pig. We're having a party. You guys are all welcome to come hang out. Maybe I'll let you join my tribe if you're good. Let me know if you want to come to this barbecue. And then they left. So Piggy's like, yeah, I think everybody went to the party for meat. You know, everybody's tired of eating ripe fruit. And Ralph's like, dude, it's just meat. And, they all just want to put on war paint and hunt. Like, nobody's thinking about signal fire smoke, you know. And I am a little jealous that now we're lonely here. And Piggy's like, well, hey, maybe we could go stop by. Jack didn't say we couldn't come over. And we did know him. Like, it's only been a little bit. Maybe we could just say what's up, grab some meat, smooth it all over. And Ralph's like, all right, it's not the worst idea in the world. Ralph splashes Piggy one more time. Just a quick, and then they both have a laugh about it, you know? They both have a laugh, and then they get out of the water, and they're like, all right, let's get dressed, let's head on out. At the Splinter Faction Barbecue, we are at Castle Rock, which is a cave on the other side of the island. The only way to get to it is like a jetty, which you've been in the Jersey Shore, any shore, I guess, but the only ones that I can recall from my head are the Jersey Shore. So like a jetty is a long amount of rock that goes out into the ocean. Just imagine like one of those lead into a cave. Kids can get on top of it, and then from behind it, they kind of have like their encampment. But the cave and the jetty itself serve as the front door, you know, castle gate of this new Splinter Faction camp. So behind this, they're having the barbecue. Everybody in the new tribe is in war paint, And most people are done eating already by the time Ralph and Piggy show up. So, Piggy and Ralph walk in. Some Splinter Faction guys. Nobody expected them to hang out. And, you know, they all knew each other before. Guys that maybe left base camp to go get some meat. They're trying it out. Those dudes see Ralph and Piggy walk in. They're like, yo, hey, what's up, man? They bring Ralph and Piggy some meat right away. It's already not as bad as Ralph thought. Piggy's probably surprised that everything's kind of working. You know, there's not a dust up yet, you know? Then Jack in full chief setup. So Jack was always a little bit jealous that Ralph was elected chief in part one. And as chief, it is a written rule in this island that, like, there's a shell called the conch, and whatever kid's holding the conch at the original base camp they set up before they broke into two, whoever holds the conch, you get respected, you get to talk. They would blow the conch to call meetings. It was sort of their form of government here. Jack hated that he wasn't chief, but didn't really say anything. All right, so Jack in his Castle Rock, his new empire is smitten, dude. He is in full chief setup. He's got a new log where he's obviously chief. He's got a headdress on. He's got a spear. He's ready to go. So he sees Piggy and Ralph walk in. He's like, hey, bring them both some meat. They've already gotten some meat, but he just does the thing where he already says what people already did to assert his dominance. You know, just a sneaky little thing he's doing here. Just reminding Ralph that, like, hey, you're in a new place. I'm a chief. You see my new chair? Aren't you jealous? So after Ralph and Piggy are done eating, Jack calls a meeting, again in front of Ralph, just flexing management power here. So Jack calls a meeting, and Piggy and Ralph stay for the meeting, but they don't sit down organized. They stand up on the side. So Jack calls a meeting. He's like, all right, important business here. Who will join my tribe? And in the waiting for somebody to volunteer, raise their hand, ask some questions, Ralph jumps in. He's like, hey, I'm chief. You know, you all voted and I'm chief. You are a hunter. Everybody here's hunters. I am chief, dude. Jack acts like it didn't even happen. He's like, okay, one more time. Who will join my tribe here? Ralph hits him with, I got the conch. Now, I don't think they brought the conch to the meeting here, but just the idea of, like, at Ralph's camp is the conch. So, like, hey, I got the conch, right? Jack does hear that and rebuts with, yo, conch doesn't count on this side of the island, which is not the first time Jack has tried to invoke, like, distance rules on the conch. Up on the mountain, when they were all together, Jack tried to say conch doesn't count on the mountain. Now he's trying to do conch doesn't count on this side of the island. He's ran this play before. Ralph hits him with, like, nah, conch counts entire island, dude. Whole island. So Jack goes back to the tried and true. All right, more importantly, who will join my tribe? At this point in time, thunderclap and lightning. Now, there is a barbecue going on. Everybody's having a good time, but it is about to storm real bad. Piggy leans into Ralph after this, seeing how that meeting thing went. It's about the rain and all this stuff. They're really not welcome here. There's a lot of sharp sticks around. Piggy leans in. He's like, hey, man, real quick, this is going to get bad. I'll tell you what, we've had our meet. This has gone pretty well. Let's head out. It's going to rain. They don't have shelters. There's going to be a bunch of kids outside in the rain. We got shelters at home. This is enough. Let's call it a win here. Let's roll out. More thunder, more lightning, and the little ones present at the barbecue. The thunder and lightning is so bad that, I mean, again, they're under six, but they're pretty freaked out. There's no shelter, so they're running around chaos with the little ones right now. Jack sees this, stands up, calls an end to his meeting, and he's like, let's do our dance. Ralph and Piggy have no idea what this means. When Jack says, let's do our dance, the Splinter Faction tribe do our dance, which is they get in a circle, and it's reenacting when the hunters will go out and kill pigs. Now, in this instance, one of the big ones from the new Splinter Faction tribe, Roger, plays the part of the pig that they killed recently. Everybody's laughing and screaming. It's like a mock hunt where people have, you know, pull the head back, cut the throat. And in the dance, not only is Roger reenacting the pig and somebody's acting like they're killing Roger, everybody's kind of acting like they're killing Roger, the chant of the dance for all the new Splinter Faction tribe members is kill the beast, cut his throat, spill his blood. This is a bunch of kids under 14, unsupervised, sharp stuff going on, chanting this stuff at each other. Okay, now Ralph and Piggy see what's going on, and they join the circle from the outside. Look, they're at the barbecue. They're just trying to, you know, whatever's going on here. We're playing horseshoes, play horseshoes. We're doing a dance. Okay. So they go up the back. They're not in the front of the circle, but they're there, you know. Now, every 90 seconds as the dance keeps going on, one of the kids of the new tribe member will just get full of energy and, like, screams part of the chant, which is like, kill the beast! And then it goes back to just regular, like, kill the beast, spill his blood, spill his blood! It's... You should... I mean, the piggy advice of, like, hey, maybe we call this early and get out of here, because things are getting out of hand at this point. More thunder, more lightning. And at this, something walks out of the forest. Everybody at the dance, at the barbecue, thinks that this is the beast. And they start, oh, it's the beast, it's the beast. Something's walking out of the forest. It's a shadowy figure. It's not big, though. It's kind of small. The tribe starts chanting, kill the beast, cut his throat, do him in. So now they're focusing on whatever is walking out into their circle. This is when Simon walks into the center of the circle. He doesn't know what's going on. He wasn't here for any of the festivities. Yeah, he's just trying to go. He's trying to relay that there is no beast, but everybody's too worked up at this barbecue dance. He's trying to talk. They're mock stabbing him. He's like, hold on just a second. You got a body on a hill. Somebody comes up and tries to get him. He covers his face with his hands. The tribe keeps screaming, kill the beast, cut his throat, spill his blood. Simon pulls like a breakout maneuver. He's like, I can't be in here. I'm encircled. Let's go. Let's go. Runs down on the beach. Tribe follows him. Right? Tribe catches up with Simon, kills him with their hands. It's like a Walking Dead. Like the, you know how like in like zombies in like the 2007 they were making a lot of zombie stuff. They would just do one of those pull apart deaths. As I understand it, that's how Simon goes out in this. You know, he was just trying to tell, hey, I saw the airman. Now, they don't even know that he saw that it's just a downed airman. There is no beast. They already killed him. They didn't get any information out of him. Simon walked down to a mosh pit that he did not. Yeah, but here's you can't blame him. He's coming off a ghost encounter with a pig head. And then dead body guy figured out what the beast is. Also, I don't know when the last time Simon's had a meal. He's probably dehydrated. Not great decision making going on here. Yeah, he gets Walking Dead killed on the beach there. And as Simon lies on the beach, he's dead. And storm winds catch a parachute of the fallen airman on top of the mountain. Same night. Now, Simon untangled him so the guy didn't bob up and down, but the tropical storm came. So we're dealing with much stronger winds. At one point in time, the book says the rain starts going left to right like Forrest Gump when he's in Vietnam. And he's like, the rain was going left to right sometimes. That's the type of storm we're dealing with here. Enough winds. It catches the dude on top of the mountain's parachute. As Simon's dead, guy goes up in the air, floats out into the ocean. Nobody even sees anything. Right around midnight, the storm subsides. And the changing ocean tides take Simon's body from the beach. That's the end of chapter 9. Chapter 10, okay. Just Piggy and Ralph hanging out back at base camp. Last night was kind of crazy, man, huh? Now, Piggy can't see well. He's at base camp. He was just alone at the beginning, but Ralph walks out of the forest, and he can recognize Ralph from his gait and his outline, and how many people are really coming to base camp at this point in time with any sort of size on him. Ralph's like one of the last big ones on this side of the island, so... Piggy knows that it's Ralph. Hey, here we go. So just to recap, base camp is only Piggy, Ralph, some little uns, and the twins Sam and Eric, who don't count as big uns. They're like moderate uns, and they always work together. They're like a team, and in the book, it gets spelled Sam and Eric, like S-A-M-N-E-R-I-C, as all one word. That's how much they do everything together. So, Ralph breaks the silence. Nobody's really talking too much. Last night got out of hand, and Ralph, out of nowhere, looks to Piggy, and he's like, Simon, huh? And Piggy doesn't say anything. Ralph picks up the conch thinking, and looks at Piggy, and he's like, yo, baby, what are we going to do? And Piggy's like, you got to call a meeting. You're still chief. And Ralph's like, Simon, that was murder. And Piggy's like, hey, stop talking like that, okay? It was raining. Everybody was scared. Things got carried away. Everybody was scared, remember? Isn't that what you said? Everybody got scared? And as he's doing this, he's talking a lot with his hands. Just a lot of nervous like that. We didn't know what happened. Things were crazy. You remember it was nighttime. There was a barbecue. There was dancing. It was nice. Ralph cuts him off and he's like, the things we did, you remember that? And Peggy's like, look, maybe he was pretending. I don't know where Simon's at today. And Ralph's like, didn't you see what happened? We were in the circle, didn't you see? And Peggy's like, not all that well. Remember, I only got the one eye now. My glasses are broke. I don't see that great to begin with. It was an accident. Remember, it was dark outside. Remember that storm last night? The rain left to right. I couldn't believe it. Ralph cuts him off. He's like, you didn't see what they did. You didn't see it. And Peggy's like, it's not going to help thinking like this right now, okay? I want to go home. Let's pass last night. We got to get out of here. And that's that. Also, don't tell Sam and Eric we were there. I mean, there it's just me and you talking right now. When Sam and Eric come over, let's just leave it out. What we do last night, nobody even brings that up. We can just move forward. Let's talk about the future only. Sam and Eric come back to base camp from collecting wood. Come say what's up to Piggy and Ralph. Sam, first thing they ask, Sam and Eric's like, hey, last night, did you guys go to that barbecue? And Piggy's like, yeah, we did, but we left early. I gotta tell you, we got out of there. And Sam and Eric's like, it's crazy. We did too. Silence. About 30 seconds of nobody talking. And then Sam and Eric is like, one of them's like, remember the dance? And then there's more silence because nobody really wants to talk about that too much. Meanwhile, back over at Castle Rock with the Splinter Faction, Big on Roger walks back to Castle Rock. Now, there's a doorman who's not Roger, but Roger eventually becomes the doorman of Castle Rock here. But Raj walks back. There's a doorman. Roger's like, hey, what's going on, dude? The doorman shows Roger that Jack has set up what amounts to an ancient tomb trap at the front gate of Castle Rock. It's a big boulder. It's wedged in there with what looks like a railroad tie log. And he shows it to Raj. And he's like, look how easy this is to push down, right? You push this down, this boulder's going down there on that jetty. Anybody standing on that jetty's getting T-boned by a boulder. And they might get thrown into the, you know? Look, the way the jetty is, there's a 40-foot fall to the ocean. And then there's forest that nobody can run to on the other side. This thing's getting somebody if somebody comes over here. If the beast shows up, getting hit with this steamroller of a boulder we got up here. Anyway, how you doing, man? So Roger's like, yeah, that's great. Doorman's like, oh, one more thing. Jack made us tie Wilfred up. Roger's like, what? Doorman's like, yeah, he's been tied up for hours. So the Splinter Faction's tying people up, making booby traps, dancing's getting out of control. All right, so Jack holds a Splinter Faction meeting. And he's like, hey, what's up? Tomorrow, we're going hunting again. We're going to have some of you stay here and guard the gate so the others don't sneak in. I'll take a few hunters with me. We'll get another pig, have another barbecue. Now, somebody in the crowd of the meeting is like, wait, why would the others try to sneak in, Jack? And Jack doesn't answer. He's just like, they will, okay? The beast may come again, too. We must be ready. And somebody in the crowd tries to bring up last night, and he's like, hey, real quick, talk about the beast showing up. Remember the dance last night where he was smaller than we thought, but didn't the beast, you remember what we did to the beast last night? I don't think. And Jack's like, no, last night, that was the beast in disguise. The beast may come in another form. We must be ready. Bill changes subject and he's like, hey, Chief, how are we going to make the fire? If you hunt a pig, we got to cook it. We don't have any fire anymore. Jack's like, okay, well, aside from hunting a pig tonight, I'll go take the fire from the others again. Actually, Maurice and Roger, you guys are going to come with me tonight to steal the fire. We'll go on a raid, no problem. Everybody else stay here. Maurice is like, okay, but what if the beast out there gets us? And then Jack's like, well, if the beast comes to get the three of us on the raid, we'll just do our dance on it, okay? We're bringing spears. We'll just do the dance on the beast. All right, back at original base camp. Sitting around the fire with Ralph, Piggy, Sam, and Eric. Ralph is like, yo, Simon said something about a dead guy. I don't mean to keep bringing up last night because it's a strange subject, but you remember when Simon, who was covering his face before he tried that breakout thing to run to the beach, he was like, there's a dead man. Anybody remembers that? And Piggy's just like, I'll tell you what, smoke's getting thinner on this fire. Gonna need more logs. So Sam and Eric is like, hey, we can't keep this fire going. There's just the four of us. If we're being realistic, this fire is going to go out. We got to go to sleep. And Ralph pitches the idea of the four of them working different 12-hour shifts to keep the fire going the whole time. But eventually they decide, Piggy's like, we don't need a fire at night. And also that's not going to work. And Sam and Eric do everything together. So we really only have three 12-hour shifts because they're not going to split up. And even together, I mean, I believe in part one, they lit a tent on fire and they were the first people to see the beast. So they have a spotty track record of signal fire maintenance. So I don't know if splitting us up into 12-hour shifts is going to work, Ralph. So Piggy's like, we'll just keep it going in the morning. No boat is going to see the smoke at night anyway. Base camp then puts the fire out, and they all hit the shelters to call it a night. In the shelters, Ralph doesn't sleep well. He hasn't been sleeping the whole time. Heavy lies the crown. He's got the management shirt on, you know. He's got to keep it together. He doesn't sleep so good. He's got racing thoughts keeping him up. He's thinking about riding on a train in England again. He's letting his mind wander back to, like, if he gets rescued, what is he going to do? And he thinks about, imagine, like, dancing around a street light, just stuff he could do. He wants to get on a train. He wants to get on a car. He thinks about airplanes, all the things that he hasn't seen or been around in forever. But he lets his mind travel back into, like, his regular life. At this point in time, Sam and Eric, for some reason, start punching each other. Again, you're dealing with all little kids on this island, so sometimes this stuff's going to happen. The twins start punching each other. Ralph's like, all right, break it up with this. Come on, guys, middle of the night. I was thinking about, like, nice things. Now you guys are punching each other. There's no reason for it. So Piggy leans into Ralph after the Sam and Eric fight dies down. And Piggy's like, hey, we got to get out of here, okay? Sam and Eric are fist fighting for no reason. They like each other. Everybody's just scared. If we stay here long, everybody's cracking up, man. I'll keep it together. I got one eye. I'm playing ball. I'm just telling you. Things are getting bad. We got to get out of here, dude. And Ralph jokes back with him. He's like, all right, you know what? Why don't you write a letter to your aunt, Piggy? And Piggy takes a beat and he's like, you know what, Ralph? I would, but actually, I don't have an envelope. And there isn't a post office. And I haven't seen a postman on this island. So I don't really know how. And then Ralph laugh pretty hard. And Piggy's sort of surprised at how hard he made Ralph laugh. And it's a nice little moment in base camp. Even though everybody's pretty scared, just for a second, Piggy cracks Ralph pretty good with that. So then Piggy follows up to Ralph, and he's like, hey, listen, just a second, stop talking. Do you hear something moving outside, right? Inside the shelter, everybody's silent, and then they hear a stick break from behind the shelter, about 3 feet behind the back wall. And then a voice from outside starts whispering into the shelter, Piggy, Piggy, right? Piggy starts having an asthma attack, okay? He doesn't know what that is. He can't breathe. He's having a hard time as he's having an asthma attack because everybody's being quiet. They didn't want to let him know where they are in the shelter if somebody's about to come in. He can't keep quiet. He's having an asthma attack, dude. It's a medical condition. He's freaking out. Three dark figures, Jack, Maurice, Roger, but they don't know this. They don't know what's going on here. Three dark figures burst into the shelter, and it breaks out. Everybody starts punching and biting. Ralph gets punched in the head and the whole inside of the shelter flashes white, right? So after he gets clipped, Ralph gets on top of somebody and he just starts punching him until he feels whatever he's punching gets slippery. And then after that happens, the kid underneath Ralph kicks Ralph up the middle to get him off him. And then after that, Ralph gets up. But by then, the three dark figures are already out of the shelter. It's real quick. Nobody can see anything. Three dark figures in, fist fight breaks, everybody's out. Now, everybody's awake now. We can't go back to bed. They got to do a base camp post-raid wrap-up here. So Ralph, Sam, and Eric, they drag Piggy out of the shelter. He's still having a hard time breathing. They put him up against a tree for fresh air. And Ralph's like, hey, man, you okay? Nobody's blaming you for anything, but are you okay, man? Can you breathe? Are you all right? And Piggy's like, yeah, I'm all right, man. I'm all right. Ralph's like, they got us, but I did get some shots in. And Eric's like, yeah, I got kicked in the face a lot. Eric's face is a mess, dude. He was like, I was getting kicked in the face a bunch, but then the guy that was on top of me, I kicked him in the testicles, and then he got off me. But I got him good. But man, he was kicking me in the face something fierce. That was terrible, right? Ralph gives it a second. He's like, oh. Well, good job, Eric. Great stuff, everybody. Okay, well, all right, let's call it a night. That's how that worked out. I don't know. End of the chapter is Jack, Roger, and Maurice hauling back to Castle Rock. and Jack has Piggy's glasses in his left hand. End of chapter 10. Chapter 11. We start out at base camp with Piggy, Ralph, Sam, and Eric. Ralph is trying to get the embers back to light. It's the morning. They no longer have glasses and their fire's out. Ralph's not having a whole lot of luck getting that fire back going. Piggy stops him and he's like, "It's no use, dude. They got our fire. They stole my glasses. It's Jack Meridew, dude. That's how he is, you know? Ralph, blow the conch. Blow it as loud as you can. Let him hear it, dude." Ralph does blow the conch. Some little ones gather around. Ralph then hands the conch to Piggy. He didn't want a meeting, but Piggy was like, "Dude, blow the conch just to do it, just to remind yourself your boss." So Ralph calls a meeting and then immediately hands it to Piggy. Piggy grabs the conch and he's like, "Hi, good morning. I take the conch to say this. I can't see, and awful things have been done on this island. Okay, Ralph? You are the only one who has ever gotten anything done, Ralph." And Piggy starts to cry and he's like, "Ralph, can you say something? Can you take this conch and say something, man?" Right, Piggy tapped out. He got too emotional talking. Ralph grabs the conch and he's like, "Hey, good morning. They came stealing our fire. I would have given them fire if they would have asked for it. They didn't ask for it. They came and they stole it. They're thieves and they stole Piggy's glasses. That's double thievery right there." And Piggy's like, "Well, what are you going to do? I can't see." And Ralph's like, "Well, we could dress up like normal and then go see them in like a diplomatic mission. We would dress up like before the plane crash. Remember what we all looked like? Maybe if we dress like that, it'll counteract how all those dudes have like war paint on and they're totally different people now that that happened. Maybe we just counterpunch that with look as clean and respectable as possible to remind them that we're all the same kind of thing. And then we'll just go see what happens." Eric jumps in. He's like, "Yeah, we should take spears." And Piggy's like, "Okay, you're going to have to lead me like a dog, though. I'll come with. I love this plan. I'll take a spear, but I can't see. I'm just going to have to walk behind you if that's okay. Also, I'm going to go with you guys. And I'll tell you what, we're going to bring the conch and I'll hold the conch when we get there. Because I got something to say to Jack. When I get there, I'm going to tell Jack, I'm going to say, you give me my glasses back. Because even though you are bigger and stronger than me, and I do have asthma, I can't see now, okay? So give me my glasses back, because that's the right thing to do. That's what I'm going to tell him, Ralph. I'm going to tell him that." And then he pushes the conch back into Ralph's hand and starts crying, getting worked up. You know, they're going to eat something, grab spears, and go try to figure it out. Ralph's like, "All right, Piggy, that sounds like a plan, you know? We'll see how that goes." And Sam and Eric's like, "All right, it's decided. Let's go." They grab the conch. They hand it to Piggy. "You got to carry it, man. You're in the back. Follow us. You got the conch like you said. We're on your team." And Piggy's like, "I don't mind, Ralph. I'll be proud to carry the conch. But I do have to be led because I can't see. You know, they did take my glasses." And Sam and Eric are like, "Yeah, they are going to be painted. Should we be painted if we're not going to dress up or do that? We're just going to go say hi. What do you think?" And Ralph's like, "We're not going to be painted because we don't act like that." Original base camp sets off in formation for Castle Rock. You got Ralph in front. You got Sam and Eric behind Ralph. Each of them are holding a spear. And then behind Sam and Eric is Piggy. Now, Piggy is using the spear trails because Sam and Eric, again, are not very big. And the spears are about, I don't know, 5-6 feet. So, like, the spears are taller than them. So, as they're carrying them, they're dragging the butt end of the spear. So, the spears are making, like, a little road that Piggy, if he squints and holds his hand above his forehead to keep the sun out, he can see the two lines just barely being drawn. So, that's what he's doing to follow, you know, stay in formation. They're all going to Castle Rock. He's got to do what he's got to do. He doesn't have any glasses right now, right? All right, base camp, led by Ralph, approaching Castle Rock. They're on the jetty, the long neck of rocks, leading into the entrance of Castle Rock. Now, again, on one side, you got dense jungle. On the other side, you got a 40-foot drop onto rocks and the ocean. They hesitate for a second, and then Ralph's like, "What are we hiding for? We know these guys. It's fine." Ralph steps out, goes up to the front door, and he's like, "Yo, I'm calling an assembly." And then Piggy whispers to Ralph real quick, like, "Hey, Ralph, don't leave me out here, okay? Well, I can't see." So Ralph to Piggy is like, "Yeah, dude, just stay down for balance. Nothing's going to happen. I'm not going anywhere. I'll be right back for you in a little. Don't worry about it." Ralph goes back and he screams at the front gate and he's like, "Where's Jack at?" the doorman's like, he's haunting, and he said not to let you in. Now, from the forest side of the jetty, coming back from a hunt, Jack and two hunters now approach Ralph. They had a pig and they were carrying it, but they dropped it to be able to see what's going on here. So Jack and two hunters approaching from the side now. Piggy sees this and he whispers to Ralph, like, Ralph, don't leave me. Come on. Jack's coming. So Jack walks up on Ralph and he's like, what do you want, Ralph? And he's like, hey, you pinched Piggy's specs and you stole the fire. We would have given you fire. Give Piggy back his specs now, you thief. And Jack's like, what'd you say? And Ralph is like, thief, thief. Right? At this, Jack lunges at Ralph. Now, Jack's coming from hunting. He's got a spear. After getting called thief, thief, Jack jumps and tries to stab Ralph in the chest with a spear and kill him. Ralph sees this, and he's also carrying a spear, parries the stab from Jack, and then as Jack's momentum carries him into Ralph, Ralph's spear comes up and slaps Jack on the side of the head. Doesn't do anything. But they lock up, and Ralph does technically get one in on Jack a little bit, but Jack tried to kill him real quick. As this is happening, Piggy's whispering to Ralph, like, my specs! I know you're fighting, but try to bring up that we need my specs. And Ralph's to Jack, he's like, we came for the glasses, Piggy can't see, okay? Our only hope is a signal fire. We will keep the fire going, our side of the island, but we need the glasses. Now, Jack and the Splinter faction, because the rest of the tribe's watching now from the front gate because they can all overlook it and see this. Now, Jack and Ralph break up after the initial attempted murder by Jack and then counterpunch by Ralph. Now they're apart, and Ralph's trying to plead his case. Ralph's like, don't you understand? We need a signal fire, and you're too busy hunting. Now, in the course of the initial fight where Jack jumped out at Ralph, Sam and Eric ended up in between Jack and the fort, the Castle Rock, by accident. The formation got split up, and now Sam and Eric are in kind of no man's land in the middle of nowhere while Jack's talking to Ralph. Seeing this and not wanting to hear anything about giving Piggy his glasses back, Jack orders that Sam and Eric be captured by the tribe. So they come out and they grab Sam and Eric. Sam and Eric, what are you doing, right? It doesn't matter. They're going to get tied up like Wilfred did. Sam and Eric are now captured by the tribe. This makes Ralph irate, and he's like, you're a beast and a thief. Ralph charges Jack. Jack sees that this is serious business time, and then he charges back at Ralph now. You're going to have a head-on collision here. So Jack comes up, lands a right hand on the side of Ralph's head. Ralph ducks down, counters with a hook to the body, and then they break up once again. Both of them are kind of impressed with how aggressive the other one is at this point, so they don't really know how to continue this. Piggy breaks up the action by screaming, let me speak, and raising the shell over his head. At this, everybody stops moving, and the Splinter tribe that's watching from their giant Castle Rock front door, they get quiet because they were heckling the fight that was going on. Everybody's quiet, and the guys watching from Castle Rock are quiet, but they are murmuring. They mostly get quiet just for another opportunity to laugh at Piggy trying to talk. So Piggy gets everybody's attention. He's like, we must stop. Do you want to be organized and maybe get rescued like Ralph, or be a bunch of little kids running around and not getting anything done? At this, he gets a wave of boos from Castle Rock. Boos, no good. Try another one. Next joke, next joke. The doorman Roger, seeing Piggy not saying the things that are going to entertain them, Roger quietly leans all of his weight on the log, that railroad tie that's holding the trap boulder in place, and releases it. Piggy doesn't know what's happening here. He goes on to his next point with the conch in his hand. He's like, and another thing. But as the boulder's released, Ralph feels the earth under his feet move as the weight of the boulder comes towards them. So Ralph ducks down, hits the dirt because he can feel that something's wrong. Piggy's holding the conch. He's busy worried about public speaking, and he can't see anyway. He is struck by the boulder from right to left, from chin to knee, and is thrown 40 feet off the jetty down to the rocks below. He lands on a rock, and they all watch the ocean swallow his body off the rock that he landed on. Piggy has been killed. The conch has also been shattered because Piggy was holding it. He got T-boned by the boulder. Conch blew into powder. After this, Jack runs out immediately and starts yelling at Ralph. He says, see, this is what you get. That wasn't an accident. There's no Conch no more. There's no Piggy no more. I'm chief. At this, Ralph's guy doesn't understand. He just watched Piggy die in the ocean. And now all Jack can say is brag about how he's chief. There's nobody even talking about what they just saw happen. Ralph's taking a second to collect his thoughts. He gets hit with a spear on the right side of his ribs from up on top on the Castle Rock door. Somebody up top threw something at him. It didn't go in, but it caught him enough that it's making him bleed, and it causes him to panic here. Spear hits Ralph in the ribs, but only grazing on the right side. Sam and Eric are captured. Ralph just watched Piggy get killed. He's now injured in the ribs. This causes Ralph to turn and run. He doesn't understand what's happening, and he runs out of fear. The rest of the tribe comes down off of Castle Rock, and they all throw at him, but he bangs a right out of instinct. They all miss. He's gone. He is hauling through the forest to get out of here. That did not go how they thought it was going to go. End of the chapter. Jack walks up to Sam and Eric. They don't know what's happening. Jack leans in. He's like, hey, it's time to join my tribe. That's the end of chapter 11. Lord of the Flies by William Golding. Chapter 12, last chapter. It's called Cry of the Hunters. Ralph is now alone, hidden in the jungle, taking stock of his injuries. He can't clean his wounds. It's not safe to go down to the water with the Splinter Tribe out there. He's hidden close enough to the Castle Rock Fortress to be able to watch the front gate. He realizes for the first time since the morning that he's hungry. He watches the doorman receive a portion of meat once things go back to normal, and he's thinking about how Jack will never leave him alone. There's a small moment where he fantasizes about maybe the tribe forgets about him and let him be like a wild bandit on the island and not hunt him down. There's no way. So Ralph hits the fruit trees for a snack. He's got to get something in his stomach to be able to think a little bit. There are some little ones around the fruit trees because that's where they hang out. When they see Ralph, they run in fear. Ralph forgets what he looks like. The little ones, Ralph's all bloody and pretty mangled. At this point in time, nobody's had a haircut in a while. He looks like a feral man. So he's just going to get some fruit. Little ones see him. They run away. Ralph's like, all right, well, that's how my morning's starting. That's fine. Ralph finds out that he can't sleep at base camp because he might be killed if they know his location. So now his camp is useless. All of his people are either captured or killed. So he's strolling around the island trying to figure out what to do at this point in time before he gets hunted down by Jack Meridew. He comes up on the Lord of the Flies. It's just a pig skull that's now picked completely clean. It's like bright white. There is one ant that's crawling around in one of the eye sockets, but other than that, totally fresh. And Ralph's looking at it, and it seems like the thing is staring at him and making fun of him, like it has all the answers, but it won't tell him. So Ralph just kind of gets tired of looking at it, and he smacks it, and the thing breaks into two parts. The skull goes one direction, and the pig jaw lands about 6 feet away from it in the other direction. And Ralph grabs the stick out of the ground. So Ralph takes the stick that was the Lord of the Flies' body, if you will. It wasn't the head. And that's the weapon he has now for the end of the book. Nightfall. Ralph scouts a position close to the enemy camp. He hasn't had any problems all day, but he knows they're going to come looking for him. His best idea for a hiding spot also allows him to keep an eye on the enemy. If I'm close, they're going to go search the whole island. They're not going to search close to Castle Rock as much, hopefully. That's what Ralph's going with here. Now, from inside the camp, he can hear a chant going again. Kill the beast, slit its throat, spill the blood. That's not good. And he sees the outline of Sam and Eric take over guard duty. So there was a big one out there. That guy moves, and Sam and Eric, they're not huge, and they have a distinct shadow. So as Ralph's watching, he's like, oh my God, they did join the tribe, and they're watching the door. So he sees the outline of Sam and Eric take over guard duty. And at this, Ralph's like, I don't know, I'm going to go talk to him, dude. Ralph crawls up the edge of the front gate and tries to hit him with like a, psst, hey, oh, Sam and Eric, hey. No response. So Ralph climbs up closer to the twins, and he gets pretty close up. He's like, yo, Sam and Eric. And at this, Sam and Eric, they've always been kind of nervy because they're not the biggest kids in the world. They jump a little bit, and they're like, Ralph, honest Ralph, you got to get out of here, man. You shouldn't be here. And Ralph's like, hey, you two aren't painted. And Sam and Eric are like, yeah, they made us join, Ralph. We didn't want to join. We didn't want to get painted or anything. Ralph, you got to forget about that stuff, you being chief, okay? Jack and Roger are going to do you, man. They're going to hunt you tomorrow. They talked about it. We're going to make a line, the whole tribe. We already know the plan. We're going to make a line, walk the island, and we're going to hunt you tomorrow. And Ralph's like, when they find me, what are they going to do? And Sam and Eric are like, you got to go, Ralph, okay? You don't know Roger. He's a terror, just like how Jack's a terror. And Ralph's like, all right, well, hey, here's my plan, because I know you guys. I'm hiding down there. You know, I'm going to actually hide kind of close so they won't find me. Really, though, can you tell me, like, what are they going to do if they catch me? And Sam and Eric are like, here, take some meat if you're going down there. Here's some meat. I don't know what you've eaten all day. We don't want to talk about it, okay? You have to go now. All we know is that Roger sharpened a stick at both ends. At this, Ralph descends down, and he can't decide whether or not to go to sleep or not. Like, does he stay up? Are they going to come get him? He doesn't know what he's doing. He has the idea of where he's going to hide, sort of. He doesn't have a distinct place yet, but he's really tired and he just got some meat. And he doesn't understand what Roger sharpening a stick at both ends mean. When The Lord of Flies was first made by Jack Marido, when Jack put that pig head on that stick in the ground, that's how Jack put the head in the ground, is that he commanded that somebody sharpen both ends of a stick. So in between the lines there, they're going to cut Ralph's head off and put him on a stick. But Ralph doesn't know that. All he knows is whether or not he's going to fall asleep right now. So he's like, oh, what do I do? It's, you know, I'm going to have to have some meat and lay down. This point in time, I don't know why this Ralph decides to sleep. He finds a good hiding space. He's got a plan for the morning. He doesn't sleep in the hiding space. He sleeps like off the side of the road a little bit. And he's like, well, I'm going to wake up in the morning. I'll go into my hiding space and my plan will work out perfectly. This was the most anxiety I had reading this book. I had to jump to like the next part. So I was like, why? How would you trust your body to wake up in time, dude? If you do not wake up in time, you are going to get killed with sticks. Anyway, Ralph does wake up in time. The momentary anxiety I had of like, he's going to get captured. Why would you not just hide? You got to sleep in your hiding spot, dude. It's right there. There's no beds on any of the island. You're sleeping on island Earth, no matter where. Move some rocks around. Get in a hiding space. God, I'm glad that I could not believe that he didn't sleep in his hiding space. All right. Well, Ralph does wake up in time to hide. He hears members of the Splinter Tribe coming near. They're in formation and they're searching, just like Sam and Eric said they would be doing. Ralph ducks into the forest trail left by the boulder which killed Piggy. That was his planned hiding space here, because nobody's going to check that, and it's pretty close to Castle Rock. Ralph is now well hidden next to the rock that killed his friend. Ralph hears Jack's voice from outside of the thicket, because the way that the boulder went into the forest, because there's no way to go through that side of the forest the way the jetty is. Again, it's either a 40-foot sheer cliff drop or really dense forest that nobody could run through. That's where Ralph found the workaround, follow the boulder, get in the thicket. Nobody's going to check this out, right? As he's in there hiding, he hears Jack's voice from outside. And Jack's like, are you sure? Are you sure he's in there? And it's Jack and Roger talking to Sam and Eric. Sam and Eric were forced to give away Ralph's plan because they found out that they talked to Ralph and gave him meat last night. At this, Ralph grabs his spear and prepares for battle. He's like, I didn't expect to get caught this easy, but here it goes. Now, the tribe knows where Ralph is, but they can't get in. There's only one way in. And you have to get down and crawl to be able to get in there. So whoever's going in first is going to catch Ralph's spear. So they can't get in that way. They're trying to figure out how to get at Ralph here because the forest is so dense. Ralph hears the voices trail off like they left him. And then he hears Jack from on top of Castle Rock screaming, heave, heave, heave. And at that, a huge boulder rolls down towards Ralph. It glances his hiding space, comes close, but Ralph remains safe. He then hears Jack again, heave, heave, heave. And now a bigger stone, massive stone, but with no speed, slowly rolls past Ralph. He ducked too. He's doing all right, but they do know where he's at. Ralph's still holding his spear, just waiting for people, trying to listen to see what's going on. Out of nowhere, two spears come in from outside the thicket, just trying to pin cushion him and get him just maybe by accident, right? Ralph sees that, immediately puts his spear back through the thicket the other way and leans his body weight on it. He feels it catch somebody. Ralph sticks somebody from inside, right? He hears the unknown tribe member be like, "Oh, I see, I told you he was dangerous," and whoever he got, you never find out who he got there, but that kid got hit. All right, at this, Ralph's like, "I can't do this all day, but I am trapped, and I did get one. How about that?" Smoke starts filtering into the thicket. Jack's tribe has lit the whole forest on fire in an attempt to smoke Ralph out of his hiding space to get him out in the open to be able to hunt him. Staying low to avoid the smoke, Ralph fights through the thicket away from the tribe. He had to fight his way through. It was tough going there. Again, it's thick jungle, but he had no other option, so he ends up fighting his way through the back of the thicket. He breaks loose, covers about 100 yards. He then ducks into a bush to evaluate his next move. Ralph has only a few options here in his head. He's like, "I can either hide in a tree," which is not my favorite, because if they catch me, all I gotta do is wait, and then I'm done. Or he thinks back to the, I believe it was part one, where they were all going on a hunt, or they were going up to the signal fire on the mountain, and then a wild boar came out of nowhere, right down the trail, made all the kids scatter, scare them, the boar ran right through. Ralph did hit that boar in the nose, didn't kill it, but Ralph got a shot in on that boar, hit him in the nose. That was pretty cool. And the boar did clip Jack Maradoo on the arm, made him bleed a little bit. But anyway, he's not thinking about that. Ralph's like, "Remember that boar scared these kids? I'll just do the boar play, or I gotta hide in a tree." I'm kind of overwhelmed, honestly. Ralph's trying to figure out, like, where do I run to? Because once he's spotted, because they don't know where he's at right now. They knew where he was at. They don't know where he's at now. But once he's seen, the hunt then becomes a rundown, and he won't be able to eat or sleep until it's over. With the forest fire approaching, he stops thinking and just dashes another 100 yards away towards his base camp, just to buy him more time to think. He starts thinking about how it would be nice to have Piggy to be able to bounce ideas off of right now. He's thinking about his friend who got killed. And he's like, "I can't keep a thought. Piggy could really think, dude. He could really think. I wish he was here, man." Ralph finds a third option. His first two, hide a tree, not his favorite, or the boar play, possible. His third option now is hide well enough to avoid detection and let the line pass. If he could find a good enough space and the kids don't see him as they do their line thing where they're like, "Is he over there? No. Everybody take one step forward. Is he over there? No." He just has to find a hiding space good enough to fool those kids. Then he's behind the line. Then he can figure it out from there. Hiding is better than tree as far as Ralph's concerned, because if he's detected in a hiding spot, he could at least have the chance of fighting to escape if detected. Having decided this, Ralph runs another 100 yards. Buy more time, gotta find a hiding spot. Finds a hiding spot. It's low ferns, about 5 foot deep thicket. Anyone looking would have to bend down to look for him. So it's like his first hiding spot where the front door, whoever's coming in is going to be real vulnerable for a second. So whoever they decide to send in, Ralph's going to be able to hit quick if he decides that it's Alamo time and he's not going to run. Now it's a waiting game. Ralph is silently waiting for the line to pass. And he's like, "Come on." Trying to slow his breathing down, be as quiet as possible. And he hears the fire reach the fruit trees, because as the fire gets to the fruit trees, those trees start popping. It's a distinct noise. And Ralph starts thinking to himself, like, what are these guys going to eat tomorrow? They have not thought this out at all. You know, they wouldn't listen for the signal fire. Now they're burning up all the fruit trees. Even if they kill me, they got nothing to eat tomorrow. You know, I just wanted a signal file. I was trying to be reasonable, dude. At this, a pair of feet arrive at the entrance of Ralph's hiding spot. Ralph remains silent. He grips his spear tightly with both hands, deciding whether or not to try and run the boar play just yet. He doesn't know if the guy knows he's in there or not. The tribe member outside Ralph's hiding spot then gets on his hands and knees and stares directly into the hiding spot. Now, the way the sunlight was getting through this fern thicket hiding spot that Ralph ended up at, There's no sunlight in the middle. And Ralph is positioned in the middle. There's a little bit of light on the left, on the right. Now, when this other tribe member kid looks into him, he's staring at Ralph in the face, but he can't see him. Ralph doesn't know if the guy's seen him or not, though. The kid might just be staring at him. So after a couple of seconds, Ralph screams and shoots forward and runs a board play. He couldn't risk it. We gotta go. Ralph breaks the line, but at this now he has nowhere to go. Behind him, he can hear the tribe screaming. They had a specific noise of like, we've spotted him. They let that noise out. He hears all these, everybody's running after him now. Now it's a rundown. They know his position. He doesn't have any plans. He thought that was a good hiding space. It did not work out. Had the boar play it. Runs all the way down. Makes it to his original base camp. That was the beach that they first all settled on. That's where they found the conch. That's where they all got along before all this happened. He gets to the beach and he trips over a log and he face plants. He's done. Jack Maridoo, the whole tribe, they're running out. They're coming to get him. Ralph looks up. And this is when he sees a white peaked cap with gold foliage standing above him. It's a white uniform, gold epaulets, and a revolver at the uniformed man's waist. It is a naval officer staring down at Ralph. Ralph looks up, sees the small cutter ship that the naval officer had arrived at the beach on, and it has a submachine gun in it, plus the guy's got a revolver. Officer looks down at Ralph and he says, "Hello." Ralph hits him with a hello back. Officer nods. And he's like, "Hey, are there any adults here?" And Ralph's like, "No." At this, Jack's tribe comes out of the beach. Full painted. Some of them are naked. Everybody's got spears. It's chaos. The naval officer asks Ralph, "Hey, has there anybody been killed? Any dead bodies?" And Ralph says, "Two." And naval officer's like, "Two? Killed?" And Ralph's like, "Yeah, but their bodies are gone now." And the naval officer's like, "Well, who's in charge here?" And with Jack Maridoo watching, everybody who's left on the island watching, Ralph responds to the naval officer and he's like, "I am." And at this, Ralph lets himself think about how he's lost his friends, Simon and Piggy, and Ralph breaks down knowing that it's all over. And that is the end of William Golding's Lord of the Flies. Guys, thanks for listening to the show. I hope your 4th of July weekend rules. And I'll talk to you later on. All right, thanks, guys. I'll see you.